Our scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you are like me, we're often very intrigued by the religions that are different than our own. We often find ourselves kind of wanting to find out about them and know a little bit more about them. Maybe even go into their houses of worship to see the differences and the way things are done. There's something fascinating about that. The same has been true about people regarding Christianity, and even prior to the coming of Christ, to the Jewish people back in Old Testament times. Many of the pagan people were very fascinated by this Jewish religion because it was very different from their own. The Jews believed in only one God. They were monotheistic. This was very strange in ancient pagan cultures that had gods for about anything you could want. And the fact that the Jewish people had no idols to their God was also very fascinating and intriguing. In fact, at one point, a foreign invading commander, when he brought his troops into the city of Jerusalem a number of years before the time of Christ, was so intrigued by the things he had heard about the Jewish faith and religion that he deliberately marched into the temple and went back behind that curtain into the Holy of Holies to look and see if it really was true that there was no idol back there. And in the process, desecrated the temple. What was the big deal about this sacred place, the Holy of Holies, and this curtain, this veil that separated everybody from that, and that only once a year a certain individual could go behind there, the high priest? Well, that curtain, if you will, hung as a cloth monument to sin, a cloth monument to the sin that's inside of all humanity, apart from our Lord. It depicts, if you will, in a very graphic, visual, simple way that even a three-year-old can get, it depicts our separation from God. It depicts what the prophet Isaiah said when he wrote to us, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." You know, if you're like me, sometimes we kind of like to put the blame on God for why we don't know him more and why we haven't seen him. And we like to kind of think, well, why doesn't God just do this? Why doesn't he just do that? Wouldn't it be so much easier for us in our faith? Wouldn't evangelism be a lot easier and so on? If God would just come and show us more about himself and kind of just display himself to us and talk to us, wouldn't that be so much easier? What's wrong with God that he doesn't do that? It's kind of a thought in us. But the great irony is that God himself says the reason for this distance and the separation isn't him. It's us. It's the sin that's in us. That's what has erected the curtain, if you will. So much of Old Testament worship life, so many of the things that involve the work of the priests, the sacrifices that they made, the actual dimensions of the temple and so on, all of that had imagery inside of it that the more you study it, you realize how it all had to do with the coming Messiah, with the work of Christ, and especially with the great work of atonement that he would have to perform for us on the cross. And this curtain is probably one of the most simple, beautiful depictions of that work as well. And how once a year that high priest would go behind the curtain. During this week of the church year, we focus on the work of Christ as our great high priest and his high priestly office. And isn't it so beautiful and significant as we read here in the text from Luke that at the very point of our Lord's death is when this curtain is torn in two, along with all of the other phenomena that takes place in nature. But this particularly inside of this special house of worship, depicting our separation from God, that all of a sudden now this curtain is ripped in two. The primary work of the priests, and in particular of the high priest in Old Testament worship life, was really all about reconciling sinful man to a holy God. In essence, it was about the doctrine of justification. How do people get right with God? And that high priest would always stand as the representative on behalf of the people before God, even though they themselves were just as sinful as the ones they represented. But that is not now the case with our Lord Jesus, the perfect and holy one, who by his sacrifice would now go through that curtain and that veil for us. And this so beautifully displays to us in very picturesque way that every one of us in our minds can comprehend how we now have an opening and have access directly to God. Listen to what St. Paul said to the Ephesians. Christ himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. Now, the reason why temple worship seems kind of like a foreign concept to us, dragging animals in and slaughtering them out in the courtyard, and the blood, they say sometimes the blood got so deep it was up to the ankle bones of the priests in certain areas out in the courtyard. The reason this all seems so strange and weird and foreign to us is because the one great sacrifice all of this was pointing to is now done. It's accomplished. And there's no more reason for any of this. Christ has fulfilled everything these things were depicting. In essence, the reason why this all seems so unfamiliar to us today is because of the one word Jesus says from the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." At the end of the Civil War in 1865, when there was the signing of the peace agreement, the armistice, General Lee and General Grant sitting there in Appomattox signing that agreement, they say that it took more than a month for the word of that, the news of that, to reach every place. And for a while, for a few weeks, there were soldiers that still thought the war was on and still were living in fear with their guns in their hands and so on. Even some pockets of commanders here and there had not yet heard the word. It took a while for it to get out. How sad to think that here there was absolute peace with the enemy and you're still living as if you're at war, living as if you have to be so afraid. That's kind of how it is with us sometimes. When we think about our own lives and some of the things on our record, some of the stains and blemishes, some of those really dark and deep ones, when my own conscience recalls some of the ways that I have clearly not lived as a child of God should live, even some of the repetitive sins and temptations I've fallen into, oftentimes when we are struck with looking at our lives and our guilt, we can kind of, like those soldiers, have a sense that, you know, maybe there isn't really peace with God. And when we look forward to Judgment Day, there's still a streak of terror inside of us. There's still a streak of terror in our hearts that says, man, I don't know. What if something isn't quite yet done? The devil tries to convince us in our heart and mind to sew the curtain back together. Tries to convince us that the barrier separating us from God is still there, and we have every reason to still be afraid of him. And he also tries to convince us that the onus somehow, the work that has to be done is now on us. It's in our lap. It's in your life. It's on your shoulders. And if you don't do something a certain way, that curtain is going to stay tight together. For you and me to have certainty about heaven, the devil tries to convince us that at least part of it now is on us. But if that's the case, you and I will never have certainty about heaven. But the Holy Spirit has recorded for us that the curtain is already torn. It's already been ripped apart. Now, he didn't have to include this, but he has very particularly for our comfort. And if the words of Luke aren't enough for us to realize that we do have access to God, that the wall of sin has been destroyed, that we have peace with God through the work of Christ, if the words of Luke just so happen to not be enough for you, look at the means of grace. Look what Christ himself, God himself, has established as a way of continuing your religion. Can you get any better depiction and message that comes through to us than that the curtain is torn? We get baptized not to crush us, not to destroy us, but for the forgiveness of sins, to reconcile us with God. We hear the holy absolution, not to crush us, not to destroy us, but to tell us there is peace with God. We come to take the Lord's Supper, not to have some bitter food that makes us afraid of God, but for the remission of sins. What else do we need? The curtain is torn. It's done. Just live in the peace. Live in this access that your loving Savior has now created. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray, I have naught, my God, to offer save the blood of thy dear Son. Graciously accept the proffer. Make his righteousness mine own. His holy life gave, he was crucified for me. His righteousness perfect, he now pleads before thee. His own robe of righteousness, my highest good, shall clothe me in glory through faith in his blood. Jesus, in thy cross are centered all the marvels of thy grace. Thou, my Savior, once hast entered through thy blood the holy place. Thy sacrifice holy there wrought my redemption. From Satan's dominion I now have exemption. The way is now free to the Father's high throne, where I may approach him in thy name alone. Amen.